You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Kings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Kings fans, happy Tuesday. You're listening to Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, as we bring you all sorts of news all about your favorite hockey team, the Los Angeles Kings, who, okay, we've got to talk about it. They lost the Coyotes. My name is Sarah Avampato. I am the host of this show, and I'm here to talk to you about the Kings. If you are new here, if you haven't been around for a little while, you can also hear me on Locked On NHL, covering the Western Conference on Wednesdays. I've been doing this show, Locked On Kings, since, 2019 when we started? We started in the COVID season, so, you know, cool. You can also read my writing over on Hockey Royalty, writing about the Kings, and mostly you can find me on Twitter at RightSaidSarah or at Locked On LA Kings, complaining about basically everything. But now we've got to complain about the Arizona game. Yesterday we heard from Jared Ellis from Locked On Hurricanes about what happened in that wild game on Saturday. And today we're going to look at the loss against the Coyotes. I don't want to do it. You don't want to do it. It's a really frustrating game, and I think we'd all like to forget it. But there is a lot to learn from it. Hopefully. Maybe. I think. We're going to start with the big one. Aside from the fact that the Kings lost, which is that, again, I would love a fancy stat on this because I know this happens all the time. This isn't just like a perception thing. This absolutely happens. Yet again, the Kings made a unknown, unproven, untested, possibly mediocre goalie look like a frickin' Vezina candidate. Karol Vejmelka was in net for the Coyotes in this game. Carter Hutton is and has been injured for quite some time. Vejmelka has been getting a chunk of the starts. Scott Wedgwood got a couple. I think he's got the only other Coyotes wins to date, Kings and Rain legend Scott Wedgwood. But he came into this game with a 0-9-1 record this season. This is his first season in North America. He's previously played many years of professional hockey over in Europe. If you haven't heard of him before, that makes sense. He's 25 years old. He was originally a Nashville draft pick, obviously not signed, ended up with the Coyotes, and the bulk of his work has been in the Czech League. But here he is, playing for the Coyotes, looking desperately for his first win of the season, and the Kings handed it to him. Now, they didn't make it that easy on him, because they did put a whole bunch of shots on him. The final shot count for this game was 38-27 in favor of the Kings. If you look at the heat map for this game, you know, locating where all the shots are coming from, here's where it gets, you know, maybe the Kings could have done a little bit of a better job. They do have an amount of shots directly in front of the goalie in that, like, magic slot area. Their only goal of the game, that's right, the Kings only scored one goal against the Arizona Coyotes. Their one goal of the game came literally right on the doorstep. But by and large, the Kings' shots are kind of from everywhere. There's a bunch back from the blue line, there's some along the wall, there's some weird angle ones. It's not like the spot in front of Vejmelka on the heat map is blue, but it could be more blue. In contrast, the Coyotes, despite having fewer shots, they did get to Jonathan Quick a little more frequently than maybe they should have. When you look at high danger chances at even strength, there's not too significant of a difference between these two teams. At even strength, the Kings had 10, the Coyotes had 7. Expected goals for 1.81 for the Kings, 1.98 for the Coyotes. Like, all the stats basically say that this was a very closely contested game, because it was. The problem with that is that it was against the Arizona Coyotes, who had 3 wins going into this game. So, yeah, of course, the unproven goaltender who has been looking for his first win, who has been struggling, hung out to dry by his team. He might be a great goaltender, I don't know. But he plays for the Coyotes, who have been basically monstrous as a team in front of him. So, of course, he's not getting any wins. But here we are with this kid adjusting to North American hockey, desperate for a win, desperate to get out of being like literally the worst stats in the NHL. And the Kings are like, yeah, okay, cool. So, I mean, congratulations to Karel Vejmelka for winning this game, even though he was probably most likely supposed to be a Tucson Roadrunner or something. But it's like every time the Kings are up against a goaltender who like no one has heard of, they just suddenly forget how to play. I know that's not how it works, but that's really, really what it feels like. Very frustrating to see. It's not like the Kings didn't put any shots on him. It's not like they had trouble getting to net the net in the first place. They just weren't putting good shots on him. And the shots that he was getting, he clearly was stopping them. You know, there weren't a whole ton of highlight reel saves in this one. You didn't watch it thinking like, oh man, like that kid's phenomenal. He was a goalie. He made some stops. It was great. Good for him. But at the end of the day, the Kings didn't really make him work hard enough, despite all the goals, all of the shots they put on goal. And here we are handing this kid his first NHL, first pro North American win. So congrats, I guess. We're going to look at some other takeaways from this game coming up next. But before we do that, let's talk about snacks. Because if you've been listening to the show, you already know this. If you're new here, you maybe don't know that I love snacks. I love food. I love eating things, especially things that are delicious. And Built Bars are delicious. They are covered in 100% protein. They're low in fat, high in fiber, low in sugar, all around just super darn delicious. And they're a great thing to have around at the holidays because right now, of course, I'm sure you're thinking about Thanksgiving if that's a thing that you celebrate. And you're looking at it, of course, American Thanksgiving, and you're like, wow, sure aren't going to be able to eat dinner until 8 o'clock at night for some reason. Well, there's a Built Bar to save the day for you because you can have one as a great snack. You can bring them along, pass them out to your friends and family, make sure that no one there gets hangry while you're waiting for pie or whatever, and have a nice, delicious snack to keep you, you know, snacky. You can go to Built.com and check it all out, see all the great flavors that they have available, and make sure you check out Built Bar Black Friday because there are some cool things coming up from Built Bar. Use the promo code LOCKED15 when you make an order to get 15% off. Again, that is Built.com, promo code LOCKED15 on your first order from Built Bar. Okay, so some other thoughts on this game. You'll actually hear a little bit more on this tomorrow. I talk with Mikey DeStefano from Locked On Leafs about the upcoming matchup again between our two teams. And this is something that came up when kind of looking at what the Kings do best, what they struggle with, what is the key to success for them. And one of the things that really stood out to me in this game against the Coyotes and is something that is going to be very important to keep an eye on for the future is the fact that the Kings played down to their opponent in this one. They didn't come out playing Los Angeles Kings hockey. I mean, we're still trying to figure out what Los Angeles Kings hockey is. Like, this is still a team that isn't 100% solid in terms of their identity. But that doesn't mean, if you're still searching for who you are as a team, that doesn't mean you go out and just sort of sit back and let the other team dictate play. And that's really what happened in this one. From the very beginning, it was playing the Arizona Coyotes style of hockey. The Kings just sort of sat back and let it happen. And so you have to wonder where we would have been had they displayed the same sort of sense of urgency, the same speed, the same gusto that we saw against the Carolina Hurricanes. Because that game, for at least as frustrating as it was to keep giving up those leads and to walk away without a win, to walk away without even a point in overtime, at least this game against the Coyotes got to overtime. For as frustrating as that game was, the Kings were in it. They were hanging with one of the best teams in the league. They were competitive. It was a one-goal game. It wasn't like they got blown out of the water because the Kings played their game. They played the puck possession game. They outshot the Hurricanes, what, it was like 39-15 or something like that. They were putting the puck on net. They were testing the goalie. They were getting into the zone. When they lost pucks, they were going after it. You heard in Monday's show with Jared Ellis that the stat for hits in this game. Like, Carolina massively outhit the Kings, and, you know, the saying goes with looking particularly at that statistic is if you're hitting someone that much, you're hitting them because you don't have the puck. You're usually not hitting someone because you're like, ah, yeah, I have the puck. I'm very excited. The Kings were doing a great job of getting the puck, keeping the puck, putting it on net, getting it back after it doesn't go in. And it was the same kind of fun style of hockey that we saw in that first game of the season against Las Vegas, where we looked amazing. And everyone was like, oh, maybe the Kings are actually going to be okay. Now the jury's still out. But if you look at the team that played that game against the Hurricanes, and you look at the team that played the game against the Coyotes, who are they? Where did they come from? Why are they so bad? This was a team that did what my biggest fear was in this game. I have had people, you know, give feedback to this show and complain that I'm too negative, which it's fine. Like, I get it. That you're welcome to your opinion. It's okay. But it's games like this that keep me from being an all-out Kings are going to win the Stanley Cup every year fan. It's games like this that make me watch the team with a little bit of skepticism because they do stuff like this. They don't come out ready from puck drop. They blow chances against a frankly horrible opponent. Like, the Coyotes are on track to be, like, historically bad. And the Kings just sort of rolled over and let them do whatever they wanted to do. So, yeah, like, maybe I'm not always super positive. I think that I have, you know, I have been saying since day one, I mean, not day one, but, like, since before this season started, that I think the Kings could be a playoff team. Like, I don't know how much more positive you want me to get while still being realistic. But, yeah, it is games like this that keep me kind of on the fence about, yeah, this game's going to be frustrating. Yeah, like, this game isn't going to be very good. Because this is what happens. This is the game that they turn in against a team that should have been a very easy win. It should have been an easy 2 points to help the Kings climb in the standings, to help them really legitimately be considered, you know, a bubble team, if not an actual playoff team. And instead, they pull this nonsense. So, just really frustrating to see the Kings not playing their own game, to see them letting the Coyotes just push the pace, or really slow down the pace to whatever the Coyotes wanted, and let them dictate play. So that's something that it needs to end now. Whatever the next game against Toronto, like, we need to see a different team. We need to not see this all over again. So that's going to make this next game possibly painful. A few closing thoughts about this game against the Coyotes and what we have looking forward to next. Before we get into that, though, if you don't already, you should know all about betonline.ag because BetOnline is your number one spot for all of the sports action this Thanksgiving. Of course, Thanksgiving is basically synonymous with football, and nothing goes better with football than turkey and also betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season long. There's more props, odds, and lines than ever before. You can head over to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON. And of course, it isn't just football. BetOnline has pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. So don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. That's betonline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So one other thing I wanted to talk about today before we move on from this game and never, ever, ever, ever think about it again is the power play. We know that the power play is bad. We know, like, no one needs to remind us. It's fine. It's what it is. Okay, cool. But the power play is so bad, just unfathomably bad. I feel like it had like a hot minute of looking competent, and then, surprise, we forgot what we're doing. Somehow, the power play is not dead last in the league. It's 24th, converting at a 15.9%. But I feel like that's a little bit of a lie. Like, if we look in the month of November, and you look at the power play, there things are much more reflective of what we're actually dealing with. There, the Kings are a not so nice 6.9%, 31st in the league in terms of their power play. After the game on Sunday, Matt Roy very cutely, innocently said, "I think our power play needed to get one tonight." The Kings had several opportunities on the power play, three to be exact. They got no goals, obviously, with the man advantage. So Matt Roy's comment, if you follow me on Twitter, at @RightSaidSarah, you would know that it got me a little bit frustrated, because it's like, yeah, you think so? Like, most of these losses that the Kings have been in, particularly any of the losses since the winning streak ended, any of these games could have been a different story entirely had the Kings just gotten at least one power play goal. So I went and I looked at some stats, and you know me, to be like dragging numbers into things is, you know, I'm not the numbers person. That's why I have other people on the show who are good at numbers to talk about. But I decided to look up some numbers. In the month of November, the Kings have two power play goals. Two. That is over the course of 9 games. When you extrapolate that out a little further, I decided to look at players. Which players have scored power play goals in the month of November? Players who have more power play goals in the month of November than the entire Los Angeles Kings team. Again, the Kings have two power play goals. The entity known as the Los Angeles Kings, 2 goals. Leon Draisaitl, known freak of nature, 7 power play goals for the Oilers. Auston Matthews, 4 power play goals. Patrice Bergeron, 3 power play goals. Chris Kreider, 3. Matt Tkachuk, 3. And then, like, literally 30 guys have 2 power play goals, including Ryan Suter, who I feel like I keep forgetting is still around. The Kings as a team have 2 power play goals. We had, like, a brief shining moment of seeing the power play at least do what you want to see on a power play. Get puck movement, get the opposite team moving, take advantage of the moments that you have to take a shot, hope you get, you know, something magical happening. We had a few brief moments of that. We had, you know, just a few games of Vladimir Tkachev, who has at least kind of the creativity, who has the vision to have a more creative power play. He's in Ontario now. He is currently on a 7-game point streak. He has scored in every game that he has played for the Reign. He has gotten a point in every game that he has played for the Reign. Right now, as I'm recording this, the Reign are playing Stockton, and Tkachev just scored, got his first AHL goal. So, you know, we had him for a little bit until they decided to send him to Ontario, which, like, I no complaints about. I think that he, you know, needs the confidence boost of playing here and whatever. And then obviously I want him back up on the Kings soon. We had that. And then, you know, we had Cale Klig come in, and he at least is doing a good job on the blue line aspect of the power play. What he can't control, what no one can control, is the fact that, like, literally everyone on this team thinks it's just fun to pass the puck around. Guys are trying to get too cute. They're overthinking it. They're making passes instead of taking shots. Like, I hate the fans in the stands who sit back and yell shoot all the time. Like, okay, they're professional hockey players. They don't need you to tell them what to do. But, like, also, oh my goodness, shoot the puck. And, you know, at this point, the Kings power play has kind of always been aggressively mediocre. Like, there'll be moments of competence and you get excited because you're like, oh, finally, is our moment here. And then they go back to disappointing you. So, like, I'm always torn as to, is this a personnel issue? Is this a coaching issue? I think really it's both. This team has the talent to at least have, like, an average power play. And instead, you have guys like Anze Kopitar, who are great offensive players, who just keep passing the puck around. You have Arthur Kaliev, who, like, the power play is his bread and butter. Whenever he was drafted, you know, the sort of general take that I had on him and that many other people had on him is, listen, he might be iffy defensively. Like, that's fine. We know that going in. But if he's going to score me 25, 30, 35, whatever goals a year, I don't know that I care about that. And this is a guy who, I'm not comparing him to Alex Ovechkin. I'm not saying he's remotely on the same level as Alex Ovechkin. But this is a guy who has that same style of play on the man advantage of he has his spot, you get him the puck, he puts the puck in the net. And they're just really misusing him on the power play. He's not getting those opportunities. He's not really set up in a great position. It's one of the guys from Hockey Royalty. I don't remember which one of you it is, but basically did the meme of kind of the older, dilapidated looking house with the very fancy sports car in the carport thing. And, you know, it's the Kings power play and then Kaliev is the sports car. Like, let him out. Let him free. Let him just do whatever the heck he wants on the power play. Like, it can't be any worse than it already is. Like, that it can't be. I mean, it could. They could score no power play goals ever again. But that's not going to happen. So it's really frustrating to watch that because you know that they have it in them to be more successful, to do all the things you need to do to have a good power play. And instead, it is the same nonsense that we've been seeing for years of guys just passing the puck to each other, of people not being set up in the optimal spots, which is the thing that makes me think that is coaching, is whoever's coaching the power play, I don't know who you are, but you need to like reevaluate what you're doing because we are not, this is not set up for success. So once again, special teams, the power play particularly failed. And had it not failed, maybe we'd be sitting here talking about a win against the Coyotes and not being embarrassed to have lost to the literal worst team in the league this year. So very frustrating outing, not really anything positive to take from it, except for, boy, the Kings sure do know how to put a lot of shots on the net. You know, Matt Roy, 6 shots, Alex Iafallo, 5 shots. Like, we had guys who were active. They tried. They tried a lot. They just couldn't get anything. The only goal in this game, because I actually didn't mention it, is scored by Brendan Lemieux, who I feel like is slowly making me eat all of my words of everything I've ever criticized him about, because he has been looking great. It came off of a great pass from Blake Lizotte. So that line at least is working. But when your fourth line is the one that's the most effective, you've got problems. So congrats to Brendan Lemieux for making me reevaluate what I think of him as a player. But the rest of y'all got to do something. That is it for today. Thank you so much for listening, for making this your first listen of the day or whatnot. Make sure you come back tomorrow and every day for more Kings news. Yeah, I will be doing a show on Thanksgiving, most likely. Don't know what we're going to talk about, but we'll figure it out. Tomorrow, of course, we're going to be talking with Mikey DiStefano from Locked On Toronto Maple Leafs, all about what we can expect in that game. We check in on our good friends, Jake Muzzin and Jack Campbell, hear how they're doing. So make sure you come back tomorrow for that preview of the Kings' next game. That is it for today. Come say hi on Twitter at Locked On LA Kings. Give me a shout out. Let me know what you think about that Arizona game and what the Kings need to do better. And come back tomorrow and every day this week for more Kings news here on Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.